Okay, good morning. Well, we've had a lot already. This theme of faithfulness, which is great. If you've been with us the last few weeks, you'll know we've been looking at this whole theme of God's blessing in our lives and faithfulness of God to us. And of course, we've been reminded numerous times this morning in what we've been singing and things that people have been sharing. And right at the very beginning of the year, if you were with us, I shared from that passage about this guy called Jabez from First Chronicles, and he prays this prayer. And he says, "Oh Lord, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. And we were reflecting on that at the beginning of the year. We prayed into that for the first few days of the year as we were had 3 or 4 days of prayer and fasting. And we were praying that God would bless us in 2016 so that we could be a blessing. If you were with us last week, Joe was talking about that God wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing to those around us. How many of you believe that's true? God wants to bless people through you. It's not just that I can receive, it's so that I can be a channel of his blessing to the world in which I live. And we prayed at the beginning of the year that we would hear stories after story of greater influence for God through our lives. In our everyday life, in the things that we do, in our routines, that we will have an influence for the kingdom of heaven. And we prayed that we would hear stories of increased God's anointing on our lives. And some of the things we've been talking about and praying for, we would see breakthroughs for over and over again. We prayed about that. And that there would be a growing recognition of the gracious hand of the Lord upon us in 2016. You know, I'm believing that some of you are going to stop in your tracks on occasions through this year and go, "Wow, what's happened? The gracious hand of the Lord has been upon us." And I really believe that's what God is going to do and has already begun to do. And we prayed as well that the Lord would protect us and bring release if we are in pain. So am I fuzzing, buzzing and popping? Okay, we'll see if we can... Well, it's not me personally. I hasten to add. Yeah, steady. And if you were with us last month, Hugh was talking in one of his talks on this subject, what does it mean to be blessed? And he spoke from the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 28, and the first 14 verses there are incredible. God's blessing on our lives, as we are faithful and obedient to him, he is incredibly faithful to us. You know, 14 verses, incredible sense of God's blessing on our lives. Then you read the rest of the chapter. Most of us don't like to read the rest of the chapter because it's actually, but if you are not obedient to the Lord, this is what happens. And one of the things it produces, it says in Deuteronomy 28, verse 48, is if you're not faithful to the Lord, if you're not obedient to him, you'll find yourself hungry and thirsty, naked and in dire poverty. Not a very pretty picture. I think there's some clues there about following the ways of the Lord and being faithful to him. And it's fascinating, isn't it? Because this talk I want to do this morning, I was scheduled to do it on the last Sunday of January. And I was intrigued with what Tim was sharing a few moments ago about God's delay and Jesus delaying going to see his friend Lazarus, where he could have healed him straight away, but he delayed. And if you were in that last service of January, there was a real flow of the prophetic, some real key things were being said, and I just sensed as the meeting continued that what I got to share was the right thing for that moment there and then. And it's only about the third time in my life where that's happened, and I felt God say, "I want you to speak on something different." And I said, "Okay, what?" And I was sat there, and it was about 30 seconds before I was likely to stand here. God just dropped something in my spirit. And that's an amazing thing when that happens. It's a little bit scary. But it's the interesting thing about the delay, because what I was going to talk about was the blessing of God in giving or money. And what have we just heard this morning about the kids? Now, a month ago, what they're doing today was not planned. It's only in the last few weeks that that's come together. I think God wants to do something and encourage us in that. And I want to think for a few moments this morning about our attitudes, particularly to money. And say, Joe last week was talking about being blessed to be a blessing. And we've already taken the offering this morning, so don't panic. All right, let me just say that, qualify this straight away. And also just to thank everybody who faithfully gives. It's incredible. Some great giving takes place in this church. Last year, our giving was up 4% compared to 2014, and we're very grateful for that. We give you thanks and honour you for that. But what is God's word on money? You know, it's suggested by some commentators, and I've read this, not counted this, okay? Some commentators would suggest that the Gospels contain more warnings about the misuse of money than any other subject. In fact, Matthew, Mark, and Luke's Gospel, some commentators would suggest you can actually read 25% of what they talk about is this whole attitude to money and how we handle it and the misuse of it and attitudes, etc. Almost half the parables of Jesus refer to money, particularly in the area of greed. So if Jesus is talking about it such a lot, the New Testament talks about it quite a bit. The Old Testament has something to say about it. Perhaps we should just have a few moments to think about it this morning. Of course, the only recorded first of the apostles, those first 12, the one who fell, if you like, what was that about? There was money involved. The first recorded sin in the New Testament church was with two people called Ananias and Sapphira. What was that about? It was about money and attitudes to money and greed and dishonesty. So the Bible clearly talks about money. And I think Joe pointed this out last week, that money in itself is not evil. Let's clear that one up straight away. But it's our attitude to it. It's our love for it, per se, that can get us into problems and difficulties. And we are warned not to make the accumulation of wealth our main ambition. Think about the rich man that Jesus talked about and Lazarus. The rich man and his barns, you know, filling more and more and more, getting more and more and more. I'm just going to build bigger barns to house it all. And Jesus has some clear things to say about that in Luke chapter 12. But this whole thing, I think, that I just want to focus on for a little bit is our attitudes and right attitudes. And if you've got your Bible, we'll flick to one or two scriptures. But a few things that the Apostle Paul says. And one of them is to the young leader, Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And verse 9, he says this. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Wandered from the faith, pierced themselves with many griefs. That's not a pretty picture. Links back, way back to Deuteronomy 28, actually, when you think about it. So what are the principles that can help frame our attitude towards money? It's interesting, I think, that when you look at the New Testament, so often the New Testament elevates principles that are in the Old Testament. Rather, if you think about money and if you think about giving, particularly, rather than giving because we have to, which seemed to be the essence of the Old Testament, that sense of demand almost on God's people, rather than giving because we have to, I think we find other factors coming in the New Testament. If you got your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And Paul's got this whole sort of discourse on this. And in verse 5, he's talking to the Corinthian church, but he's talking about a Macedonian church. And he says, I want you to think about the Macedonian church, who actually were quite poor. And you think, it's okay, giving, you know, if we've got plenty, we can give. But actually, there's some keys in the New Testament. He says, the Macedonian church, who were actually quite poor, they gave themselves first to the Lord. How many of you know if you give yourself to the Lord, there's nothing else to give? It's the whole job lot. And then Paul says to the church at Corinth, verse 7, you are doing so well in many things. And he was acknowledging that. But then he says, I'd love to see you excel in the grace of giving. Now, sometimes, or let me just put it this way. Naturally speaking, giving away something is not our automatic natural response, is it? Because actually we're all human. And we're all a bit think of ourselves, don't we? Okay, it's just me. But a grace comes on us to give. And I believe God wants to grace us as a church to be givers. To the world in which we live, to the community around us, a bit like we were hearing for the children a few moments ago. A grace on us. You're doing so many things well, I'd love to see you excel in the grace of giving. Here's the key, verse 8, I am not commanding you. Just nudge the person next to you and say, he's not commanding you. He's not commanding you, okay? Verse 12, but if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable. So where is our heart in this? You know, we're not putting pressures on people. We're not, See, I don't believe God is looking to compel us, but he's looking for willing hearts. We're just saying, Lord, I've just given myself to you. And we want to honour him for all that he's done in our lives, for all that we are because of him. And we want to give of all that we are. If you go to the next chapter, chapter 9, I think some key verses. Remember this, verse 6. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, and having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Some great alls there, aren't there? There's having all things at all times, all that you need, you will be able to abound in every good work. Not under compulsion, but a revelation of truth that what we've been singing about this morning, this faithful God, is faithful to you. He loves you with incredible love, and he wants to bless you, his people. He wants to bless me. Yeah? And make you a blessing. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, whoever sows generously will reap generously. You know, there's a whole biblical principle about sowing and reaping that I don't want to spend a lot of time on today, but what you sow, you will reap. I'm not a gardener. I'm in that department in our household. And seeds she sows, if she sows a certain type of seed, that plant will grow. You can't expect something else to grow. But if we sow generously, we'll reap generously. And this whole biblical principle of sowing and reaping is so key. I remember, let me tell you a little story, when I was 16 years of age, which is steady, just a little while ago. And I left school at 16 and went into industry and got my first it was paid monthly, and it went straight into the bank, even back in those days. And I looked at my bank statement and went, whoa, I've been used to 50p a week pocket money. And all of a sudden, I remember my first ever salary for the year, 1812, just like the overture. 1,000, so a massive amount of money. Well, it's not today, maybe, but back then, you know, for the year, that was massive for me, 16. Wow. And all of a sudden, I've got money. I thought, better give some to mum and dad. They've been looking after me for 16 years, and now I'm sort of, you know, they don't get the child benefit anymore, as it used to be called. Do you still call that? Whatever. So, gave them some. And then, you know, I've been brought up in church, and this whole thing about giving and tithing, particularly, was something that I was very aware of. And it was about the same time we went away as a youth group from the church. To a place called Skendelby Hall. Some of you may know it. It's in a little rural village in Lincolnshire. And we went there for a weekend, And there's a whole load of stories came out of that weekend. I'm not going to go into them. But the thing that we were talking at one point about giving, and I had a question. And I asked the senior minister of the church at the time, I said, yeah, I started earning, and that's great. And I'm used to tithing. I would even tithe on my 50p pocket money. I was used to that as a kid because I've been in church all my life. And the question I had was, now, I get this bit of money now. The tax man has a bit. National Insurance has a bit. Should I pay my tithe on the gross or the net? That was the big question. It wasn't should I pay a tithe. It was should I pay it on the gross or the net? And he said, that's an interesting question. He said, I tell you what. Here's a thought. Go away and think about it. He said, why don't you give God the honour of the doubt and see what happens? Okay. And I did. And I've been doing it ever since. And I tell you what, I've seen what happens. God is faithful. God has blessed himself. And Marie, our kids. You know, and wow. I'll tell you a bit about that in a minute. Because when we give ourselves to the Lord, it's actually not such a big deal. What is our attitude? You know, we quote scriptures, Malachi 3. I quoted it right at the beginning of the year in that talk on Jabez. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I'll not throw open the floodgates of heaven, pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. And then he says, I'm going to protect the things as well. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines of your fields will not drop their fruit before they're ripe. Then all the nations will call you blessed. People are going to look on your life and my life and say, look at him. Look at her. Wow. The blessing of God is upon their lives. The favor of God. This whole thing about tithing, let me just mention something about that. It's from an old Hebrew word, which means tenth. So a tithe would be a tenth of our income, a tenth of what we have. And it was, of course, common practice in the Old Testament, and people said it's all Old Testament law. And, of course, we're not in that period of the law now. We're in a period of grace in this church age. But actually, tithing went back before the law, and you can read about that with Abraham and a guy called Melchizedek, who's recorded in Genesis 14 as a king of Salem, a priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abraham. Now, Abraham gave him a tenth of everything that he had. You then read about it, about Jacob as well, at Bethel in Genesis 28. And he says, God, if you'll be with me, provide food and clothes for me to wear, then all that you give me, I'll give a tenth to you. And then, of course, we have all those scriptures about that are wrapped up in the law, where God's speaking to Moses in Leviticus 27, Numbers 18. You can have a look at those. But then you get to the New Testament. You know, some people say, well, tithing's a bit Old Testament. Well, actually, I'm fascinated by the words of Jesus because Jesus is very much New Testament. And a new dispensation and a new day, a new covenant. And he's challenging the Pharisees and the teachers of the law in Matthew 23. And what is fascinating, you know, Jesus has a way of capturing people's attentions. He's got this group of Pharisees and teachers of the law, and he says, woe to you, you hypocrites. That sort of get your attention if you weren't listening beforehand. You hypocrites. He said, you give a tenth of what you've got. In other words, your tithe. Fantastic. But then he said, but you have neglected the important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. This is what he said. He said, you should have practiced the latter, justice, mercy, and faithfulness, but don't neglect the former. Still make room for the former. Tithing. Let me say this. We don't talk about tithing and giving every week in this church. But it is in the Bible, and we will talk about it on occasions. And we will bring truth, because when we go through series and topics, on our Sunday mornings particularly, we want to cover the breadth of Scripture. and have us all think. Tithing is a reminder that all that we have comes from the Lord and indeed belongs to him. If you read in Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8, it says in verse 17, "You may say to yourself, my power and strength and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me." In other words, I've gone to work, I've used my energy, I deserve my wages. Fair comment. But then he says, "But remember, the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. By the grace of God, we're alive today and doing what we do. By the grace of God." And of course, there is an argument that actually tithing is really handing back to the Lord what belongs to him. Leviticus 27, the tithe belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. So, I believe God is interested in why we give, in what we give, and where we give. Why we give. You know, we've seen already, 2 Corinthians 9, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but willing hearts, because of all that God's done for us. What we give. You remember that instance in the New Testament, in Mark's Gospel and chapter 12. Jesus, this is a really strange thing to do, sat by the temple watching what people are putting into the pot. Can you imagine if we did that on a Sunday morning? We'd all think, I don't want him seeing what I'm putting in. Anybody watched The Cross and the Switchblade, which is a film that came out in the 70s? A lot of you nodding. This was a film about a guy called David Wilkinson who got a call from God to go and evangelize the gangs of New York. And there's a scene in the film, The Cross and the Switchblade, where there's an evening meeting going on, and it comes to a point of taking an offering. And the guys taking off the offering are the gang members. I tell you what, when the gang members came, if you didn't put enough in, they'd want some more. I think they got the biggest offering ever that night when the gang members. I don't think Jesus was doing that. But he was making some comments, and he sat there opposite the place, it says in verse 41 of chapter 12, Mark's Gospel. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came, put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. And calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Look, I tell you, this poor woman has put more into the treasury than all the others. They have given out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put everything in, all that she had to live on." A bit like the Macedonian Christians who gave of themselves. Why we give, what we give, where we give. There's an interesting Old Testament principle about the responsibility of giving where you and your family worship. In Deuteronomy 12, verse 5, God says, "Seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all the tribes to put his name there for his dwelling. To that place you must go. There bring your burnt offerings, your tithes and special gifts." Be careful not to just sacrifice anywhere. I think there's a responsibility to give where we are partner and family together. Do I say, you shouldn't give anywhere else? Absolutely not. Because I think God puts things on our hearts to bless others and mission agencies, etc., etc. But I think there's a responsibility locally as well. For the service of God's house, it talks about in Numbers 18. Give to the Levites all the tithes there. And in the New Testament, it talks in 1 Timothy 5 about honouring leaders, and particularly those who minister in the word of God, etc. And then, you know, again, back in the Old Testament, also the tithe was used for the support of the poor, for those in need and the foreigner. Let me just give you some statistics, and again, to thank you and to honour you for your part in this. Last year, 2015, tithes and offerings and gift aid we were able to claim on that amounted to £164,000. Thank you. We were able to give to missions, to giving and serving the poor of £41,000. That's 25% of what came in tithes, offerings and gift aid went to missions, etc. And so thank you to everybody who enabled us to do that and bless others around us. Proverbs 19 says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. There's a responsibility on us for some of these things. I wonder if the musicians would come back. Just a final thought or two. Because I believe if we are willing to put God's principles into practice, if we have our right attitudes and right heart in what we do, if we will honour God with all that we are, then Scripture tells us actually he will honour us. He won't leave us. He will be faithful. All those things we were singing about and talking about right at the beginning. Proverbs 3 tells us, honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. And you may say today, actually, David, I don't experience all of that. Sometimes we go through seasons of things, don't we? When we give ourselves to the Lord, there may be a call at times to live in a way that doesn't necessarily look so blessed. When we were preparing to get married, myself and Anne-Marie, we were having discussions about whole loads of things, and one of them was money, as you would. What's the budget? How much do you earn? How much do I earn? What's the possibilities with that? You know, are we going to be able to put a deposit down on a house? Are we going to be able to get engaged? And actually, what about this thing of giving and tithing? And say I was brought up with it, so in one sense it was a little easier for my thinking. I don't think Anne-Marie would mind me saying that for her it was a bit of a challenge to her thinking. What, 10%? 10% of our income? Giving that? Whoa. And I think I used the phrase that the minister had used with me. Well, why don't we try it and give God the benefit of the doubt and see what happens? And bless her, she said yes, and we did. And God's been faithful and blessed us in so many ways. In that journey of 32 and a bit years of married life, God's called us to some strange and crazy things. At one period of our life, when the children were small, we all lived in one room, separated by wardrobes. It's a strange thing in a church in Cheshire, because we felt the call of God was to go there. And in one sense, you know, people could look on and say, you didn't seem very blessed then, David. Actually, God blessed us amazingly. And you see, the blessing of God is not just about possessions and stuff. It's about the peace of God on our lives for whatever we're going through. The Apostle Paul said, didn't he? He said, you know, whether I find I've got loads, I've got plenty, or I've not got so much, he said, I've learned to be content. And if we can learn to be content and that we have given ourselves to the Lord, then what an amazing thing. God will honour us and bless us and grant his peace on our lives. And I'm not here today to ask you for money, but I'm here to challenge you today a bit along the lines that Joe was challenging us last week. What are we doing with our time? The PA, oh, there we go, it's come back. What are we doing with what God has blessed us with? And I believe if we are faithful with what he's given us, then Malachi 3 kicks in, where he says, see, I will pour out so much blessing that you can't contain it. I think if we wholly follow the Lord, Scripture tells us that God will direct us, he will provide for us, and he will protect us. Direct us, provide for us, protect us. If we honour the Lord in all these things. Let's pray. And then the band are going to lead us in a final song. Father, what a privilege to be able to be here today with one another and part of this incredible family that we refer to and know lovingly as the family of God. What a privilege to be able to call you Father, and to know that the resources of heaven are huge. Your ability to bless is not restricted in any way, shape, or form to resources available to you. Lord, I believe you just want to bless your people, your church, your family, those who honor your name, those who declare that, Lord, we give ourselves to you. And I pray, Father, across this room, that as we think about these things, as we've gone through this series, that we would understand and recognize your incredible love for us. That you died on a cross for us. We could call on your name, we could be saved from our sin, and we could have a fresh destiny, a new start, eternal hope of life with you. And Lord, on this earth, in our remaining days, you've promised health, strength, provision, protection, direction. Lord, and I want to declare that over each one today who's called on your name, asked you to be Lord of their lives, and you said, and have said to you, Lord, you are Lord of my life. Declare your blessing and your favor on each one. I just want to ask if there's anybody here this morning who's never asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of their life. And today can be a new day for you. You can come into this wonderful protection that is offered by God himself, the God of the universe. Protection for today, protection for tomorrow, protection for eternity. Fresh hope. Incredible security of knowing him. And if you want to know Jesus, then I want to ask you to come and talk to us right at the end of this service. We'd love to pray with you and help you and see you journey into this incredible life with him. The Lord bless you. Thank you for being here.